This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yes, sir, you've stumbled upon a Donnie Football Friday. You're in the right place. Please stay. City Limits to my left. Donnie Football across from me with an unbelievable shirt on, the Blues Brothers. Do you like that movie, Donnie?
I do. I love the movie. And I think we're, Sunday? I think Sunday night is like the big SNL 50th anniversary. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I am. And I'm interested in that. I can tell you that. I still say things like land shark when I come up to people's doors. You may not know that joke.
I don't know that.
But a lot of people do. Everything well, Donnie?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Limits, I want to check in on your well-being. You're wearing the moon golf jacket that I re-gifted you for Christmas, and I'm always proud of you when you wear that.
That's right. I'm very happy to wear it today, Joe. I felt it was appropriate, and I'm wearing my my Pirates hoodie that I got for my birthday years ago when I went up to Boston for opening day.
Wow.
About that.
What'd you think of the green? Have you been there, Donnie?
I have. I've actually gone to like a half dozen games there.
Now, I went there and my family was disappointed, said that Fenway let them down. I love the place. Did you? Was it everything you guys expected?
I think it gives you a completely different feel. Like, obviously, PNC Park, and we hear from outsiders too, like people who travel around every park, like how beautiful of a facility it is. We have the great view in the background. I don't know. Maybe it was like a nostalgia thing. Like the first time and really every other time I've walked into Fenway Park for a baseball game, it gives me a different feeling.
Me
like
too.
It's like a big deal that you're walking in there.
You're like walking into history.
Yeah. I mean, it's the oldest ballpark. It's like 115 years old or 113 years old. I went to a Red Sox Yankee. I've been to two Red Sox Yankees games, but I went to one in Jeter's final season.
Oh, wow.
It was August of 2014, right before I went to college, sat in the seats that are original to the ballpark, which that made for a little bit of a tight squeeze because those seats were built more for somebody Austin's size and not really my size. Especially when I was going to college, I was 60 pounds heavier than I am right now. So my brother-in-law and I sitting next to each other, that was a little bit of a tight fit, but we made it work. I mean, it's just the atmosphere is remarkable.
Yeah, I made my first pilgrimage there in the late 80s to watch Oil Can Boyd, who was a favorite of mine, and the Orioles lit him up. Floyd Rayford, an anonymous catcher, hit a home run off him. Limits, your experience at Fenway?
I actually have a pretty cool story behind it. So we went up for what was Pirates Red Sox opening day. It was Garrett Cole started, and it was Andrew McCutchen's final opening day with the Pirates before he was traded. Same thing with Cole. And it was my 16th birthday, and my cousin works up in Boston and got us a Kinect. So we ended up sitting in the seats behind home plate in like the family section. We had John Farrell's specific seats. He was the manager of the Red Sox at the time. And my cousin had a Kinect. John Farrell was nice enough to let us use his seats.
How about that?
For opening day.
He was living large.
Did Spencer Horwitz play in that game?
No, he did not. He did not hit a home run off the pesky pole.
He had an injured wrist.
He was out for that game.
Donnie, what do you make of the Spencer Horwrist situation?
I think I don't want to say it's a disaster, but man, I was talking about this last night, and it's incredible to me some of the things the Pirates get themselves into, and it's like they are able to make themselves the joke every single time because they make their big offseason acquisition a guy who we find out has a chronic wrist issue.
Yeah.
And that's even worse. It's not like, okay, he broke his wrist or something in the offseason, kind of a one-off thing. You bring up the word chronic into it, and that worries me for the longevity of this guy as a major league ball player and as a Pirate. I mean, the guy that plays third base has a chronic back issue, and that is turning into a disaster. I mean, the guy has a worse back than like someone who's 80 years old.
And did you see the little line in Destiny's Child story in the Post-Gazette? It was an optimistic story on Key Brian Hayes with the little caveat, but Hayes acknowledges that he will deal with these back issues for the rest of his career and his life.
Yeah, and that's very worrisome. It's a player that you have signed to be sort of a cornerstone of your organization. I know that financially the number isn't as bad as you may see around baseball, and if the guy really played to an okay/solid level, you are more than getting your money's worth. But if it's anything like last season, that was a mess with him. And now you trade one of your good arms from last season, and I get they had an abundance of pitching.
Yeah.
So they were able to move on from Luis Ortiz, even though he had a career year in 2024. They send two other minor league arms to the Guardians. They get Horwitz as, oh, here we go, guy that led the rookie class in the American League and on base percentage. Like, okay, that's a nice little number to look at.
Sort of,
But then we find out, oh, yeah, he has this wrist issue. He just had to get surgery on it. It's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. And we know how baseball is. This is something else I brought up last night. I have my doubts we see this guy take a real swing for the Buccos.
O'Neill Cruz was supposed to come back a couple of years ago from that leg injury.
Well, I have my doubts that we
didn't see
this guy
for a year and a half.
We're not going to see this guy before Memorial Day because it's baseball. It'll turn into 10 to 12 weeks because he's going to miss all of spring training. Then he'll need to have his own spring training, his extended rehab stint. And that's if there's no setback, which a chronic injury, I feel like that's more prone to happen, to have a setback. And lo and behold, we will get to the unofficial start of summer, and I worry we will not see this guy yet.
Me too. But we didn't come here to talk about baseball, Donnie. It's not Donnie Baseball Friday. It's Donnie Football Friday. And guess what we're going to talk about? Steelers quarterbacks. And it's not unjustified because they don't have one. That's A. B, there's news breaking every second. And C, you can never go wrong talking about Steelers quarterbacks. And you and I really haven't broken it down this way. Starting with this, I want to get your thoughts on two things to start before we dive into Justin Fields here. One is the Trevor Lawrence story. I haven't seen a story blown up like that in years. That thing came out from Ryan Burr, and somebody immediately threw a grenade at it, and it hasn't recovered since. It was pronounced dead last night at about, 10:30 p.m., even by Ryan Burr. Didn't he come on with you guys and say, oh, yeah, maybe it wasn't true? What did he say with you guys?
The thing he was adamant about was that the phone call took place, but that was it.
But even that is being severely debunked.
Yes, it is, by pretty much everybody else. And I know we'll have Ray on within the next hour. But that was the only thing he really kind of dug his heels in on.
Yeah.
That a phone call took place, but it could have merely been a phone call. Hey, is Trevor Lawrence available? No. Phone hangs up.
Right.
5 seconds.
Here's the thing, Donnie, and I've been thinking about this more and more. And like, I don't necessarily believe anything from any side, you know? I mean, because a lot of people have a lot of motivations to tell reporters things. Nobody's better connected to the Steelers than Jerry Dulac, right to the top. But the Steelers, it would seem in retrospect, at least in this one case, had reason to throw breadcrumbs in the wrong direction for Jerry at least once 2 years ago in the draft, mm-hmm. when he reported through them, through his sources, that they weren't going to take Kenny Pickett, that Mike Tomlin had eyes only for Malik Willis. So it happens. It happens to the best of them, where the sources have their own motivations. They obviously, the Steelers didn't want anybody to be on the scent that they wanted Pickett. Probably erroneously, they could have taken him in the second round and announced it to the whole world that they were taking him in the second round, and nobody would have touched him. They might have gotten him in the fourth round, and nobody would have touched him. But that's beside the point. I don't believe anybody about anything when it comes to this time of year and quarterbacks. For all I know, the phone call was made. But I think the Steelers got involved here. Wouldn't surprise me if Omar Khan got involved with a text or a call to certain reporters saying, no, 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 this is absolutely not true. And what I would imagine the reason for the Steelers being very sensitive about this is if they want Justin Fields back, that this is a very sensitive time to be dealing with Justin Fields. Like, they have apparently Russell Wilson on the line as well. But if they're making calls outside the organization on everybody in sight, how does that sit with the Justin Fields camp, right? If that's true, and you're Justin Fields, you're like, all right, you already benched me. You already haven't pronounced me your guy. You already apparently have Russell on line two in case we don't get a deal worked out. And you're checking with everyone else in the league on other quarterbacks. I'm out. That's at least a theory that I think makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you are kind of toeing the line there with him if you do want that guy back. Unfortunately, they haven't shown a whole lot of indication that they do. Now, it really doesn't matter what we think. Like, I happen to think their best route for 2025, sign Justin Fields to a relatively short and sweet deal, you know, 2 years, I don't know, 25 to 30 million, and, you know, pick out your quarterback in 2026, figure things out there. They haven't really backed that up where they have any sort of belief in that guy.
Right.
Because, maybe, you know, the phone call probably never happened yesterday. But regardless of that, if it were to get out there that they are checking around the league, like you said, that would tell Justin Fields, well, you know, they haven't talked to me very deeply about things when it comes to next season or the season after that. We're also hearing that, oh, they still have interest in Russell Wilson, even though that guy is almost 40 and he completely fell off a cliff in the final month of the season, the moment they started to play pretty good teams. And if they're checking elsewhere, it's like, okay, well, how interested are they in me? And in that case, I think Justin Fields will have a better market than what Russell Wilson has.
I agree with that. Although, when we say that, is there a single team out there that will call Justin Fields and say, you come with us, you're our starter, or at least you're in pole position? Is there one team? And that brings us to this, Donnie. That brings us to this, the other piece of this story that we open with. Aaron Rodgers officially now out there, and the Steelers are the Vegas favorite to go get him. That's one. Two is I'll use this to launch us into the Justin Fields topic. Sam Block from ESPN tweets out, and I quote, there's a 25-year-old potential star quarterback available right now. He went 4-2 last season, 2-0 against playoff teams. His name is Justin Fields. Browns, Giants, Jets, Titans, Raiders, Saints, Steelers, go get him. What do you make of that? Do you think that the market will be that big for him, and that even one of those teams will tell Justin Fields this offseason, you're our guy. At least you're coming to camp as the favorite. It's your job to lose if you come here. Which of those teams tell him that?
I think one of those teams that is now, you meant all those teams you brought up, they're all drafting pretty early.
Yeah, well, he Steelers. Brought them up, Sam Block. Yeah, yeah.
Besides the Steelers, all of those teams are drafting pretty early. We also know that at least right now, it seems like there are only two quarterbacks that are consensus top 5 to top 10 picks. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. There will probably be another guy, maybe your guy Jackson Dart, that kind of jumps up into the first round, depending on how things go. The combine is at the end of this month. I think we get a better picture of that after the combine, after pro days. But there could be one of those teams early, whether it is Tennessee, whether it's Cleveland, either of the New York teams. What if they watch these guys at the combine, they watch these guys at their pro day, maybe they have private workouts for them, and they think to themselves, well, I'm not really convinced about what this guy can do. And maybe we do wait until 2026 to take that quarterback. And if you're Tennessee, I don't know, maybe you say to yourself, let's bring in Justin Fields. What's the worst that can happen here? We get an early pick next season again. Let's draft Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, one of the guys that look like generational talents first overall.
Yeah.
And we at least fill some sort of void instead of taking one of these quarterbacks. If we're not convinced on them, we wait until the better class of 2026.
Well, the Jets are now a team everybody's talking about for Justin Fields. And one of the reasons they're talking about that is his relationship with Garrett Wilson, who a lot of people think is on the outs with the franchise. Certainly he thought he was on the outs with Aaron Rodgers. That became clear. This was a quote from Garrett Wilson on how he feels about Justin Fields, Donnie, and when Justin came to Ohio State. He said how he approached coming into Ohio State and took on the role, his new role, that's something we all notice, and that's why you saw him be a captain after that year. So he's a really special dude, special on the field as well, but what he did off the field, all of that was real. Might the Jets also see a situation here where they can keep, I don't know, is he their biggest star on the whole team?
I mean, I would argue Sauce Gardner defensively, but
yeah,
offensively, probably Garrett Wilson.
Might that factor into this? Like, maybe that's the team. But back to the Steelers for a second. What are you thinking if you're Justin Fields? Like, we just heard the owner 2 weeks ago after the season give the most lukewarm. Again, this is pretend everybody that you're Fields and his people listening to this. You have the owner essentially saying, we like Russell and Justin, like them both. They're both interested. I guess whichever one of those comes back will be the starter. And then you hear Rooney say this, they're both capable quarterbacks, and my preference would be to sign one of them. We've got a whole quarterback room to fill, so there's jobs open in there. I wouldn't be surprised if we look in the draft as well, either this year or next. And so that's got to be the priority. There's just been nothing, and maybe this is why the Steelers got extra sensitive when that story came out yesterday. Like, okay, this is already tenuous enough with Justin. The last thing we need is for the world to believe that we're out there calling every other team about their quarterbacks. But reading that, Donnie, and hearing Art Rooney say, yeah, we got a whole room to fill there. We'll be looking in the draft for sure. We like Russell or Justin, you know, and whichever one shows up at my office Tuesday will get the job, maybe. I just wouldn't be feeling good if I was Justin Fields about the Steelers right now. Would you?
No, and I think he's aware at this point that he will have a couple of options out there, and I think he's also in the position where, yeah, he's missing out on any big payday he could truly have around the league, but he's going to have more options than the other guy the Steelers just had. And I'm starting to worry myself that they're going to butcher this situation the whole way through, kind of like they have for the last few seasons.
And with the receivers, I might add, but go ahead.
And Justin Fields, you know, not that he's a superstar player, but I still think he's the most logical option for next season. I'm starting to worry they're going to let this guy get away and they're going to say, well, that's okay. Russ, you want to come back here? And then they pay the guy, what, 3 years, $90 million? That would be a mess.
Oh, my God.
I would rather them run it back with Kyle Allen than Russell Wilson in 2025, because that at least tells me that they would be focused on their future at quarterback, meaning the 2026 draft. If they bring back Russell Wilson, they will try to sell us a bill of goods as if, hey, you know what, we had this guy for pennies last season, and we still weren't able to get over the hump in the playoffs. We got blown out in the wild card round. But don't worry, we just paid him big money. We'll be better this year.
Oh, my God.
And don't worry, we'll also figure out the wide receiver position, I promise.
Right, I mean, I'm not joking at all when I say from where Art sits, it wouldn't be a bad idea and might be the best idea to take a step back this season, or at least put the team in position where that seems realistic. And trading TJ Watt and going with a nondescript quarterback for a year would be without, he's never going to come out and admit it, but that would be pretty much admitting we're taking a step back to reload for the draft in our city. I mean, honestly, Donnie, I would trade TJ, much as you have to love him as a player, and Minka and Pickens, and run it back with not even Fields. You joke about Kyle Allen. I'm not joking. Like a Marcus Mariota, somebody, a Jameis Winston. And it's almost to your way of saying, Mike, you haven't gotten it done, no matter who's been in there. And you're the one who got to pick them. I'm going to pick the guy this year. And if you can go 9-8 with Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston, God bless you. You got me. I think this is our way of taking a step back for a year to go 6-10. You don't say any of that out loud, but it's heavily implied, right? When you trade TJ, Minka, and Pickens, it won't happen. The Steelers will never do it. But I honestly think for 1 year, that's the way to go. And the obvious lesson is every single Super Bowl you've won, mm-hmm. this incredible non-losing streak for all these years, the 70s dynasty, we're all born of losing a lot. Going 6-10 to get Ben. The irony being that's when you launch the non-losing streak, born of a losing year. And the 70s were completely built from that. But that's not going to happen. They'd rather go with Russell Wilson with no shot at winning a title or possibly even a playoff game and go 9-8 or 10-7.
I'm also not even convinced if it would be a Kyle Allen type or a couple of the names you mentioned. Which, by the way, just quick aside, I don't think Jameis Winston would ever happen. As entertaining as that guy is.
Neither do I, yeah.
Just the fact that he's way too careless with the football, and I think he's already too far into his career for that to be fixed. Like, they were able to see, okay, Justin Fields, he was prone to turn the football over a lot, but he's still only a few years in. I think we can, you know, turn that around, fix him up a little bit. And, yeah, he had fumble issues still, but he played his cleanest football with the Steelers. Jameis, he's been in the league for 10 years, and that dude just throws it with a prayer every single time. You have no idea.
Yeah, of course. Never happen, no.
Yeah.
Nor should it, probably, unless you're trying to lose.
But I'm also not convinced that they would have just really a bum at quarterback, and they would still, by hook or by crook, find their way to 9-8.
In that case,
I mean, the guy did it with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
If they traded Watt and brought it or left it with Kyle Allen and Tomlin went 9-8, then I'm on board with Mike Silver and everybody else. I'm voting for him for coach of the year. Okay. This would almost be Art's way of saying, here, Mike, here's Jameis. I'm signing him. You go win with him. You win with him, you get a lifetime contract. Here you go. But none of that's ever going to happen. They think they're close. They think they're closer than virtually everybody else in the football world thinks. And that's Steeler arrogance. And the funny thing is, I don't think any of them are particularly arrogant. You know what I mean? Like, it's they're mostly down-to-earth guys, as far as I can tell. I don't know them all very well. But Omar, Mike, certainly Kevin Colbert, Art, they're not arrogant people, but the way they've been running their franchise for a while now is arrogant. And whether it's manifested in the form of luxury picks like Najee Harris and Pat Fryer, you're taking a tight end in the second round, Mason Rudolph. I mean, it's so many different areas it comes off as we're the Steelers, we know better. Nobody else wants Kenny Pickett. He's been in the building next to me. I know him better than you. I'm going to take him 20th. You'll see.
Yeah, see, you said it right there. Like, they rest on their laurels of, we're the Steelers, we've been doing it this way for forever, and we've been one of the most successful, or the one of the most historic franchises in football. We're one of the biggest brands in football.
Right.
Everybody knows the Steelers.
We've done some winning around here. Don't forget about that, Ashley Liotis, right? We've done some winning around here. We've had some success around here, you know. We're 38-32-1 over the last 4 years with no division titles, a minus 80-point differential, and three ridiculous blowout humiliating playoff losses. But listen to this, Ashley. We've had some success around here.
And we've been above the mean for the last quarter century of the
right.
NFL.
So of course we have.
So that's something else to be very proud of. Since 2000.
Yeah, above the mean.
Yeah. Not many teams win more than us besides, the Patriots and a couple of other teams. I think another thing that makes them maybe feel like they are closer than what they are is how the Super Bowl just went down. Because we were able to see a team with great roster, a quarterback that I think is better than he gets credit for. I think Hurts gets a lot of short shrift on his end. I think the dude's pretty good. He's not in that top tier of quarterback, but you still have to have a pretty damn good one to win the Super Bowl. And I think he fits into that category, but it shows great roster can outdo just great quarterback on the other side. But the problem is they haven't taken the correct steps to get there the way the Eagles did.
No, they have not. Howie Roseman is running the show there. Andy Weidel wasn't running it in Philly. Howie was and still is. And maybe for the Steelers, that Super Bowl gave them hope. For me, it was proof that they're not a million but a trillion miles away from the Super Bowl. And, you know, yes, Jalen Hurts takes advantage of being on a great roster with a great team. Are there many, like, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks who didn't take advantage of that? Like, I love Terry Bradshaw. Do you think it might have helped him to have Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, a really good offensive line, and the greatest defense of all time? I'm thinking that probably helped him. I'm thinking if he played on the New Orleans Saints, he would have been Archie Manning. You know, I mean, that's just the way it rolls. Same with a coach and a quarterback. But the coach gets credit for taking advantage of having a good quarterback. You know what I mean? Mike Tomlin won with Cowers players. Mike Tomlin walked in and took advantage of the roster he had and won it all. He was A-plus for 4 to 5 years. He was great, and he deserves 100% credit for winning the way he did with those guys. It's just you walk into your circumstances in the NFL, God bless me, and you either take advantage of it or you don't. And Jalen Hurts has. I give him all the credit in the world. The point would be to build a roster like that, and they're not in the same universe as the Eagles. Not in the same universe.
No, I mean, the other thing, too, is how they handle their coaches. Like, when guys don't perform, they're gone. I think that's the other huge difference. You know,
huge.
Not only do they draft insanely well, like, the guys were, they pulled it up yesterday. The last four or five drafts for Howie Roseman and the guys that they drafted between rounds 1 and 3 or 1 and 4.
Yeah.
Almost all of them have become key players for Philly. You can't say that about a whole lot of teams, so that's not really a shot at the Steelers, but that just shows how good they have been in that realm. But the coaching thing too, which we've talked about, when those guys don't perform, they move on. They don't wait around.
Exactly. They had a very similar end to their season last year. They finished 1-6. The Eagles did. They won 11 games and went to the playoffs. Around here, you would have Art Rooney putting up banners for that. For them, it was a massive, massive failure to the point where, depending on what you read, the head coach was ordered to get rid of both coordinators within a week of that embarrassing loss. We've been promised changes around here. What have they done? Change the secondary coach?
And that's only out of necessity, because the guys that have left, Aaron Curry got another job
right
with the Jets. They lost Grady Brown. Like, it's only guys that have had the contracts run out and they were free to go elsewhere, and that's what happened.
It's incredible.
Only change that's been forced, and I wouldn't call those major.
Nobody would, right? I mean, Jeffrey Lurie, who runs the Eagles, is not living on sort of the culture or the dynamic of Dick Vermeil back when he was coaching the Eagles in 77, 80, whatever it was. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about living above the mean. He doesn't even care what Doug Peterson did. And Doug Peterson did for them, you know, what Joe Maddon did for the Cubs. the only difference, the Eagles had never won it. Forget about going back. They'd never won the Super Bowl. This guy delivered them a Super Bowl, and they got rid of him. Why? Because the only, and he said it, recently, the only thing that matters to me is us and our fans in the next 3 to 5 years. So if you're a coach for the Eagles, first of all, you're not running the show like they are here. They're a personnel-centric, Howie Roseman-centric organization. The coach is an employee. He's a chef. We'll give him the ingredients. You better cook it up real good, like win first place awards, or you're gone. It's just as simple as that. We got it figured out at the top. We got the best guy in the business. We have an owner who's not who's unafraid. You're an employee. Win. Cook us prize-winning meals all the time, or we're out. You're replaceable. You're disposable. Here, they're living based on fear of we'll become the Steelers of 1933 to 72. We never want to be that again. And if we can just live above the mean, life is pretty good.
There, the Eagles hierarchy is the perfect display of how things should be run. Like, everybody knows their role, and they go on with their business. They do their job. The owner's one concern is winning the whole thing.
That's it.
And it starts from there, and everybody else falls in line.
That's it. Big difference in standards. I think even the Steelers, if they could snap out of it for a minute, could learn a thing or two about Art. I'm talking about Art. Art Rooney II runs the Steelers, along with Mike Tomlin. But technically, Rooney is above him in the franchise hierarchy. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Barely, but it is true. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of treats today, including a quiz show, including Ray Fittipaldo, top of the hour. Let's dive back into Justin Fields, though, and our confidence level therein. Brian Batko, Steelers could still find a franchise QB in Justin Fields, but he'd have to defy history. That's true. What would you do if you were Fields? Let's twist the question that way. What would you do if you were Justin Fields right now?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is Pomp and Joe, but it's a Donnie Football Friday. Yeah, we're talking Steeler quarterbacks again, but man, there's new twists just every day. Aaron Rodgers officially free. I'm going to go over a list at The Athletic of 20 quarterback options for the Jets. Obviously, quarterback options for any other team are quarterback options for the Steelers. So we're going to take a look at that for sure. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Before we move along, Donnie, let's give space for City Limits to vent for a moment. Everything's broken. Literally everything, from the chairs to the clock to both of his computers. And I've never seen him like this. Limits, go ahead and vent.
I'm flustered. I am angered. I have tried every trick in the book that I have known in my 3+ years of being here, maybe longer. I can't keep track at this point. That's how disturbed I am by the problems that are out of my control that I've tried to put into my control to fix.
Donnie,
have you
seen it?
Nothing I can do about it. And I'm just flustered and frustrated.
Have you seen him like this, Donnie?
I haven't. But I am a little bit worried for myself.
Oh, yeah,
since
Donnie.
I will be taking that seat in a little bit over 3 hours.
Yeah.
And there were issues that started last night. I was on until 10:30. I felt bad for our buddy Jolie. He was behind the glass there. And you know, Joel and I are trying to have some conversations and the poor guy is trying.
Where did you find that if everything's broken?
So this computer, I can at least play the commercials.
Okay, yeah.
But
sorry,
my computer does not work.
Yeah. All right.
Now the commercial one is the big one. So we're good there. Even though it's
On Tuesday that broke too. Remember, Joe?
Did it?
Remember we had to come back on.
We're gonna come in here Monday. The only thing standing is gonna be the 13-9 shirt over here, just for Crowley.
Well, the other nice thing is when that. The commercial where we play the computer where we play the commercials out of, sometimes that screen will just mysteriously go black. So we're going to be in for one of those, I'm sure, before 2 o'clock or when I'm back there, Limits, and I will just be thrilled to end my Friday that way.
This is great stuff.
Can't
I'm sorry, Limits.
Sound.
I think it'll get better.
I'm trying over here. I'm doing my best to bear
with the circumstances.
The sheer
individual brilliance out here will save the show, I think. Donnie is that good.
Yes, you and Donnie's brilliance, definitely not mine.
Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And if you're able to get through, is the text line working?
I can't get on the computer to see it. The text line does work, but I can't see it right now.
So there may be a backlog of your texts, but they will get through eventually to our friend City Limits. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Okay. Jerry Dulac in his chat this week And this is a headline now on Steelers Depot. Rise and fall of Steelers offense under Russell Wilson being debated internally, Dulac says. Donnie, does this take a whole lot of internal debate? They tore up the Jets and Giants and got shredded when they played the Ravens and Chiefs. They went from bad teams to good teams. Some of the worst defenses in all of football to some of the best defenses in all of football. Are they hiring a consultant to figure this out? What's happening here?
The only real impressive win that we got, I mean, yeah, they beat the Ravens that first time, but it was all on the leg and foot of Chris Boswell, that 18-16 win. Then the game against the Commanders, really the only one that we can look back on and think that's the true bright spot of their season, because that was a team that was, even though the defense
was ranked 18th at the time.
The defense of the Commanders, not the strength, but the team.
Yeah,
was a,
but we're
a
talking strictly
one.
Offense.
They ran into, especially with the Eagles and the Chiefs defense down the stretch.
And the Ravens.
The Ravens defense got a lot better in the second half of the season. But the other two were good all year.
Yeah.
And they met in the Super Bowl. And it just became an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, if I was running their internal meetings, that makes it sound like, you know, it's the Department of Defense, and they didn't have much defense by the end of the year either, I might add. I would simply say, listen, I think we all saw that Russell can still play. You know, he can still play. Not much different than Aaron Rodgers, and that if it's sort of like our franchise as a whole, you know, our stability enables us to beat the chaotic teams. And thankfully for us, there's a lot of chaotic teams out there. That's why we get to the playoffs. We take advantage of that. But he's clearly not a guy to get us to the next level. He's like us. He can deliver a winning record and have some good games. But when the going gets tough against the best competition, he's not up to it. Neither are we. Therefore, we're moving on. Somehow, I don't feel like that's the conversation taking place.
Yeah, that's how I don't get how that conversation can even go longer than 5 seconds, because what's the idea here? You're going to bring this guy back for an even more expensive price than he just was?
It's crazy.
Like, last season, you know, you could at least understand it. They got the guy for the veteran minimum.
I loved it.
Because, yeah, I mean, I remember you and I talked about it right after it happened, and it was like, okay, this makes sense. They're able to get the guy for pretty much nothing because another team is paying what he's going to make in 2024. You know, all well and good. You had the guy on the cheap, see what happens, you know, build a team around him. They didn't really do that. They didn't build an offense around that. They never got a good second wide receiver. They were working with Van Jefferson as that wide receiver too all year. And here we go again. What would the plan be? We're going to pay this guy more money and we're going to try to convince people that we will then build the offense around him
and convince ourselves that he can beat good teams. I mean, come on. What are we looking at here? We're looking at a fading quarterback. Still, I compare him to Rodgers. I think you'd get the exact same results.
Yeah, I mean, I even think that I said yesterday that they are the two, they're pretty much the two worst options. And I even think I could talk myself into Rodgers before Russ again, but I would hate both of them. I would hate
how
both
realistic
of those
do
options.
You think Rodgers is? Some people say like it's just a non-starter, zero chance.
I think it's very low.
You do? Well, why?
Maybe not fair to say very low, but I think it's low. The thing that I have pause with is that, you know, he and Mike Tomlin, they've occasionally done their little flirting.
Right.
When they play each other, whether it was Rodgers with the Packers and they shared that little smile, or Rodgers with the Jets last season, whatever. But I just don't see how they could look at that idea and think of it as a way to get them over the top. Like, his time with the Jets was brutal. Which was funny. The Jets put out something yesterday, like, thanks for the memories, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Like, the most memorable thing was when he ran out onto the field with the American flag and then blew out his Achilles 4 plays in.
Yes.
That was basically,
although his numbers this year, and I know, like, maybe like last year's Russell numbers, I'll finally have to admit, might be a little deceiving.
That's the thing. He had a few good games that outshine the others, but it is kind of like what the Broncos fans warned us about with Russell Wilson. Like, hey, yeah, the numbers look good. The box score looks good. He's not really that good. And I think, at least I did, thought, okay, maybe there's just some sour grapes there. But then he came here and did a lot of the same stuff, at least in those
at least against good teams, yeah.
I mean, think, the playoff game is a perfect example. You pull up the box score after the game and think, oh, 270, two touchdowns, no picks. Okay, Russ did his part. But you have to watch that game to understand, yeah, that all came when the game was over. The Steelers were down three touchdowns before he started to move the football.
Well, it was. I don't imagine we have access to this today, but didn't Russ say after the year he only regretted two plays from his season?
What were they?
What I don't even... Do you remember that, Limits? That he only regretted a couple plays from his season?
Yeah, I think obviously the Marlon Humphrey one was one.
Yeah.
The other throw, I'm not sure. Maybe the loft to Darnell Washington in the back of the end zone. I mean, that would make sense.
Or that one play on, was incredible.
That one on Christmas that spurred a whole lot of controversy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Pickens is blameworthy there, but so is Russ on that play. There's tons of them, Donnie. He went play in Baltimore when he had people wide open on a fourth down play, remember? Late in that game in Baltimore, the first one, and he threw a ball into triple coverage into the end zone to Calvin Austin. You remember that one?
Yes.
Let me see here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I thought there were moments I wish I had played a little bit better, Wilson said. I feel like I had two plays that I wish I had back, to be honest with you. Two, Donnie, on the whole year. He said the one in Kansas City and the one in the Ravens game where I should have just kind of put the ball inside. Other than those two plays in particular, I competed my all.
Which Ravens game moment does he mean?
He means the pick six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there were a few you could have chosen from there.
Yes, I mean, you
had the first interception that was in the end zone. Now, they won that game, so I guess maybe he doesn't look back on that one as badly.
That was one of the worst plays in the NFL all year.
Which one?
The jump ball to Mount Washington when they had a chance to go up by two scores simply with a field goal.
Yes, and if it's not for Justin Tucker, they lose that game.
And I'll tell you another thing.
Very makeable field goals.
I'll tell you another idiotic throw came the next series when he threw a 50-50 ball to Pickens in the end zone with the same scenario. We go up by two scores. There's no reason to throw another. Nobody talks about that one. It was crazy. And he also had a lot of other bad plays, I might add, Donnie.
Well, that's why I asked which Ravens play specifically, because it felt like there were a handful against them in both matchups. I mean, the game where he tried to run for a touchdown, and I know that some people will come to his defense.
Like, I will on that one. Well, but you got to hold on to the ball.
See, that's the thing. First part of that play, great. It's almost like in baseball. Guy makes a diving effort. You know, Pedro Alvarez makes a diving effort at third, then he throws the football into the 10th row. Or he throws the baseball, I guess, in that case, to the 10th row.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that play went. First part of it, great. Russ showed off some wheels. He was going to put them first and goal from, like, the 3-yard line. He fumbled the football. That's what people will remember. Not, oh, Russell Wilson was going to put them in position to score a touchdown. They'll remember the fumble.
Right. Did he have no regrettable plays when they scored 17 against the Bengals? Oh, I suppose he blames the offensive coordinator for that. But he did go 17.
How about that two-minute drive?
Right?
That was something of legend.
Exactly. He made one of the... Now you're reminding me. He made one of the worst decisions I've ever seen by not getting out of bounds or throwing it out of bounds. He doesn't regret that. See, the thing with Russ is that I think he is a nice man off the field. It's wonderful. And
for
a nice
sure.
man on the field.
Yeah, and he does X, Y, and Z for the community. Yeah, no shots there.
But he's delusional, unfortunately, when it comes to his own play. And that's exactly what Jay Glazer pointed to, maybe through Tomlin's eyes, because we know Jay Glazer has that direct pipeline. When he said the Steelers, after Russ started cooking in a couple games, like the one at Cincy, were like, there's no Russ cooks around here. That we're not doing that. Russ thinks he can cook still like he did when he was 25, and he can't. That last drive you just mentioned against the Bengals was proof positive of that.
He made one nice play on the drive, and it was unfortunately a pass drop by Pat Freiermuth. But given how the early part of that drive went, yeah, I mean, the tight end deserves blame for not holding on to the football, but there's not even a guarantee that they get another playoff and kick the game-winning field goal, even if that happens, because so much time was wasted due to how the drive started. He put a couple of different receivers out on an island to get tackled in bounds.
Yeah.
He himself got tackled in bounds. Like, that was a case where you're watching that game and you should actually feel proud about it. Like, man, they are going to somehow get out of here with a victory, and they're going to knock off the Bengals after really not looking like they had business to do so. A couple of things went their way. You remember that the weird thing on the punt where the ricochet and Connor Hayward recovered it. A lot of things went their way in the last 10 minutes of that game, and you kind of started to get the feeling they're going to luck their way into a victory here.
Yes.
And he put together a drive that we would have bashed any rookie quarterback for, let alone a dude that's been doing this for 15 years.
But he has no regrets on any of those plays. He thinks he made two bad plays the whole year. I'm not up for Russell Wilson part two. I'm not. And I was a big defender early. We all were. We're all watching him play pretty well. But in retrospect, it was against bad competition. Period. I'm not sure what there is to internally debate about that if you're the Steelers. But maybe they're just desperate enough. It's really mind-blowing that this is still on the table here for a guy who's clearly fading skill-wise, who seems to have indirectly embarrassed the Steelers organization by saying his play-calling ability at the line got stripped away. They apparently don't love him, at least not Artie Smith. Like, that doesn't sound like a marriage made in heaven. Here, does it?
That's the other big thing I don't get. We know that there's a rift between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact the OC will be back.
Right.
And now you're going to tell him, you're going to have to convince Arthur Smith, yeah, you got to work with Russ again.
I know, it just doesn't make sense. Unless it's viewed in the light of they're flirting with him to drive the price down on Fields, but they may have an opposite effect if they want Fields, which is Justin and his people might say, are you kidding me? You're still talking to this guy? Forget it. I'm out. I'll go play with my buddy Garrett Wilson.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.